On AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and a Community Connection this morning, talking with Ike Weaver. You wonder, okay, he's not local, but what he is the guy that's going to tell us all about a kite festival coming up the final Saturday of this month. It's a kite festival at Turpentine Creek. And Ike, first of all, thanks for spending a little bit of time with me. And I guess you've been doing this for, what, close to 30 years or so, right?
Yeah. This will actually be the 29th annual kite festival, and it's actually just to correct you a little bit, it's going to be the 23rd. So it's not the final Saturday of the month, but it's coming up in just a few weeks.
Well, I guess as it you can count those down on the fingers of two hands, I think, or close enough anyway.
Close enough.
To kite festival. I mean, who has not had fun flying a kite? I remember one particular experience. I must have been, I'll say, fifth grade, more or less, and I had accumulated over the years more than, I don't know, between a quarter and a third of a mile of string all on one, I think it was a sawed-off broom handle that I had it wound up on, and I had that kite out there all the way on all that string, and I hated to even reel it in, but it was getting dark, and I just couldn't fly it anymore. Who does not have fun with a kite?
Right? Everybody has fun with a kite. And like I said, this is going to be our 29th annual up at the Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Everybody has a great time coming out. It's a very inclusive event. So, you know, young and old people alike come out and fly a kite. We're actually going to have some professionals coming out to show folks how to fly fighting kites and other unique kites. I even think one of the professionals is going to bring out a 30-foot dragon kite that they're going to display. So that should be pretty cool.
Wow, that is impressive. A 30-foot kite, I mean, that when you get it out that quarter mile or half mile or however far I had it out there on that piece of string, it still will look like a big kite, I think.
Right, definitely.
Colitis kite. How did all the term kaleidokites come about? I mean, I can see all the different colors as if it was a kaleidoscope, but somebody had to put the words together.
Yeah, absolutely. So the event is sponsored by Kaleidokites of Eureka Springs. They've been involved with this event for years, and it actually used to be held off property in Holiday Island, I believe, but they moved it to the refuge, and it's been held out there for a lot of years. But Kaleidokites is a great store downtown Eureka Springs. They have a lot of different kite options to choose from. You can go to kaleidokites.com to see all their different options. But they're going to be out there sponsoring the event. They're going to be helping us, helping the kids make kites of their own. They're also going to be selling kites. They're also going to be hosting a raffle to raffle a 6-foot kite during the event. So that should be really fun.
Well, that'll be great. I assume there's a way that you can load it in the back of the car and take it home without damaging that 6-foot kite.
Yeah. It comes in a little bag, so it's all, you know, pretty compact. But once you fold all that out, you know, it's 6 foot, so it's a really big kite that they're raffling. The value is around $150, so it's a really unique one that folks can get a chance to win.
Wow. Turpentine Creek, I haven't been there, but I've seen some pictures, and it looks like you've got a nice facility, not only for the event, but something for people to come see year-round.
Yeah, absolutely. So Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge, we're actually a rescue operation, a nonprofit organization for exotic and native animals. We've rescued, you know, throughout the nation, and we focus on tigers, lions, big cats. We do have bear on property. We've got about 90-plus animals on property on 459 acres, just 7 miles south of Eureka Springs. And so while the Kite Festival event, it's actually a free-to-attend event for families and individuals, but standard admission does apply if you'd like to tour the refuge and learn about our animals. And you can read about, you know, our tour times, our rates and things like that at our website at turpentinecreek.org.
And this is kind of a first of all, it's a nature-friendly event and situation because you're there to rescue those cats, the big cats and other animals that were endangered. I think I talked with a representative earlier in the year. I guess it was maybe last summer or fall. I forget now. But people try to get a cub and raise a big cat and then realize that, wait a minute, this is a big cat and I don't have room for it left in my backyard. So you end up with one of those, or maybe they come in from a zoo or other places, right?
Right, right. That's the exact situations that we get calls on. You know, folks don't realize there's actually no federal law against owning a tiger cub or a lion cub or a, you know, large exotic animal. But there is state-to-state laws that, you know, some states might be a permit state where you basically just have to purchase a permit and then you can have one of these animals in your backyard. But some states, you know, don't have any written laws whatsoever, like Nevada, for instance. And so it kind of, it's a patchwork of legislation regarding big cat ownership and just kind of blurs the lines for exploitation. And that's kind of what we educate folks about whenever they come out and visit the animals is the current industry, the current laws that are affecting these animals and how folks, whenever they visit, how they can ultimately help protect these animals by becoming an advocate for them. There's actually a bill being introduced this year. It's known as the Big Cat Public Safety Act. I believe it's H.R. 1380. That's basically a rendition of a similar bill that was first introduced back in 1998, I believe. But if folks really want to, you know, help protect these animals, I do encourage them to go to our website, turpentinecreek.org. We've got an advocacy page, and we've developed that page to where if you live in another state, you can just type in your zip code, and it'll tell you exactly who you need to contact in order to support this bill or have your representative support that bill. So I do encourage folks, if you haven't been to the refuge, to learn about us, go to our website, learn about all the advocacy opportunities we've got available just to help out these animals.
And I guess on that one, I'll be of two minds. I think it's, first of all, it's important that there be some protection for these large animals. But gee whiz, I really hope that the states would have gotten their act together. I much prefer laws that are closer to the people rather than pushing everything off to Washington. But so kind of two minds on that one. But anyway, I wish the states would have gotten their act together a little bit better.
Right, right. And that's, you know, I mentioned that earlier, but the states, you know, have inconsistent patchwork of laws. So, for instance, California, they've got an outright ban on ownership of these animals. But like Nevada, for instance, no written laws whatsoever. So, you know, when folks are breeding these animals in captivity, when they have cub petting operations, it's really hard to regulate something like that whenever the laws are so inconsistent. And so this Big Cat Public Safety Act, you know, should help protect these animals to a great degree.
Well, that's important, and like I said, that's the plus side of it, and we'll see what the legislation is all about. I will go to the website and see what I can do about, you know, doing some reading on it just for my own personal knowledge. Getting back to the kite event itself, Ike, this is something that, are there instructions as far as kite making and kite flying tips and that sort of thing to be get up close and personal with some of these folks?
Yeah, so Kaleidokites would actually be a great place to go for stuff like that. You can go to kaleidokites.com. They actually have a lot of great information on their website. But beyond that, whenever you come out to the event, they're going to be on site teaching you how to make various different kites. They're going to be teaching you about the differences between triangular kites or I believe they're pronounced Rokuku kites. Don't quote me on that, but there's a lot of different kites out there. A lot of people don't realize how important kites are either. They've been used for, you know, recreational purposes, military purposes, all kinds of different things. So if you don't know a lot about kites, come on out to the refuge on March 23rd, that Saturday from 10 to 4, and learn about them.
Okay. Tell you what, we're going to take a short break. We're talking with Ike Weaver on a Community Connection on 1400, and we will continue coming up in just a moment.